Welcome and bonjour. This is the Statewide Conversation with Minnesota State Officials on COVID-19. It's brought to you by the Ampers Network of Radio Stations. I'm Heidi Holton. I'm live from KEXE Studios on the cloudy banks of the Mississippi River in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. Thanks so much for listening in today. Today we're going to be talking with Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. She'll join us to answer questions that came in this week from listeners around the state. If you didn't get a chance to send or call in your question, email covid@ampers.org. And this conversation is a collaboration of Ampers Diverse Radio for Minnesota Communities and the Minnesota Broadcasters Association. Lieutenant Governor, thanks for being back with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So yesterday, the CDC announced new guidance on face coverings, and then your administration and Governor Walz announced the end of Minnesota's statewide mask mandate. So people seem excited, people seem scared, people seem nervous. Can you help us kind of understand this brave new world?
For sure. So people are all the things, and I get it. So, you know, but generally, Heidi, today is a really good day for Minnesotans. And I think, you know, the CDC, to be clear, now recommends that if you've been fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask in most settings. I think it's exciting because, you know, it reflects the significant progress that we've made in this country and really underscores the bottom line of what we've been saying for a very long time, which is that our vaccines are extremely effective. You know, millions of Minnesotans are fully vaccinated right now, including a huge proportion of folks who are at risk for serious illness. So millions of Minnesotans are also on their way to full immunity. So as we recognize this progress and in light of the evidence laid out by the CDC, we are ending the statewide mask mandate. Fully vaccinated folks can get back to the things that they love and the people that they miss confidently and safely. But what's also important to keep in mind for folks is that in accordance with the CDC's guidelines, if you haven't been vaccinated, you still should wear a mask indoors. Private businesses and local municipalities can still put in place a face covering requirement, but they cannot be expected to enforce a statewide mask mandate that only affects some people, so those who are not fully vaccinated. So the bottom line is that masks work. So if you haven't been vaccinated, in order to keep those around you safe, you should continue to wear them. But vaccines work even better. So millions of doses have been administered around the United States, and we know that we're preventing serious illness and deaths, and this is our key to getting back to better. But Heidi, as you know, I have a budding public health warrior in my house, and my 8-year-old daughter. And, you know, our family has decided that we will continue to wear masks indoors until my daughter is fully vaccinated and you know, vaccine is not yet available for, you know, for 8-year-olds, so it's only 12 and above. So we'll continue to mask indoors and, you know, make sure that we're in solidarity with her. And then, you know, her dad and I are going to make sure that any summer program, after-school program that she participates in that, you know, that provides care and programming for kiddos 12 and under, that they require mask wearing. That's what's best for our family, and we want Minnesotans to be able to do what's best for their family, too.
How does this affect the schools of Minnesota?
So right now, the Safe Learning Plan is still in effect, which requires masking within our schools, and that will remain in effect. And so I think, you know, that is what we know will get us through the rest of the school year. There'll be additional guidance, of course, that'll come out of MDE and public health into the future. But for now, that remains in place. So when I dropped off my kiddo today, she had her mask on, and all of the teachers and staff at her school and other students also had masks on, and that should be what Minnesotans expect through the duration of the school year.
So one of my coworkers just popped in and was concerned. He wanted to know if this means that you're showing your vaccine card at places. This is kind of a We're just assuming those who are masked haven't had the vaccine or for another reason have to do it. We're not going to be needing to show that vaccine card, are we?
No, there's no kind of vaccine passport that is required. We are asking Minnesotans to be Minnesotan, which is to be good neighbors. And if you haven't yet been fully vaccinated, to continue to wear that mask. But we will not be requiring proof of that.
So you kind of explained what the decisions you're making for your family. For people who are continuing to kind of deal with this psychologically, the social anxiety, do you have advice for them on what this means and how they should make changes in their life?
So I think, Heidi, if I'm being really honest, I had dreams about masks last night, and my husband did too. And so, you know, it is certainly top of mind for everyone right now. And, you know, as I said, wearing a mask indoors with my daughter is something that is important when we go to the store and are in other kinds of the zoo or in other kinds of situations. That's how our family will be dealing with this. And I think everyone needs to decide what's best for them. I have so far felt comfortable going to an outdoor cafe, having a meal, having a beer with friends. I'm not quite ready to eat indoors, but that is, you know, again, everyone has to make that decision for themselves. And we've been doing this for 14 months. And so this is a big transition. It's a big change. People should take the time that they need and not feel pressured into making decisions that don't feel good to them. But what I would say is the best possible thing that you could do in this moment to give you that peace of mind and to help with that transition is get vaccinated.
And, you know, we've said this before, but we've also cut down on colds and flu and all those things. So, you know, if you need to, this mask is going to keep you from those things as well. So it might be something that we continue on with.
I'll be honest, in cold and flu season, I really appreciated not getting sick. And so, I might just keep that mask in my pocket moving forward because it made a big difference, for our family, for sure.
Yeah, it's probably not the last time you'll have mask dreams, I bet.
That's right.
Well, let's move into some of the listener questions that came in this week. They want to know what the latest is on vaccinating 12 to 15-year-olds in Minnesota. And they said, what do you think are the main things parents should consider as they decide whether to get their teen or tween vaccinated?
Sure. So this is a super exciting development, I think. And, you know, the governor just yesterday, son Gus, who's 14, got vaccinated, and that was exciting to see. Vaccinations have recently become available to folks who are 12 to 15 years old in Minnesota, and the Department of Health strongly encourages this age group and all age groups who are eligible to get vaccinated. Approximately 22% of the new COVID cases involve folks who are 12 to 18 years old, so it's important that they're protected by the vaccine. There's also been cases of this age group having physical issues even after they recover from the COVID virus, as we're still learning more about this disease. So fortunately, many people in this age group are enthusiastically embracing the opportunity to become vaccinated, and parents are required to provide consent for this age group. So if you have children who are in this age range, make sure that you are able to accompany them to their appointment. The vaccines are free, they are safe, and they work. And as more Minnesotans get vaccinated, we are all safer. And I have to just say that, you know, my kiddo is like, as soon as 8-year-olds can get the vaccine, Mom, I want to be the first 8-year-old in the state to get that shot. So I think a lot of our young people get it. And, you know, we get the flu shot. Our kiddos get several, right, vaccinations and boosters throughout, especially throughout their early years. This is just an additional way that we can protect our kids, and I can't wait until it's available for younger kiddos too.
Well, another question that came in along those lines, they said, with the vaccine available to kids 12 and up, do you think that that's going to change whether schools can require students to get a vaccine? And what are you hearing from schools about requiring a COVID vaccine, just like they require other vaccines before kids enter kindergarten?
Sure. So, you know, this is a great question. That's an important question. The COVID-19 vaccine is currently authorized under the emergency use authorization by the FDA. So, you know, in general, the health department would have to wait to have conversations about whether a vaccine should be included in the school law until it's licensed. And there's a process that's outlined in statute about how the department goes about proposing to add a vaccine to childcare and school law. And the school and childcare law does allow for medical and conscientious objection exemptions currently. So, you know, regardless of the status of the vaccine related to school law, it is very safe and effective and an effective vaccine. And so we encourage all students 12 to 18 years of age to receive it. And the more students that we have vaccinated by the fall, the better, because a more normal, quote unquote, school year we can have for kids.
You're listening to the Statewide Conversation on COVID-19 with Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. You can send your questions to covid@ampers.org. Another question on this topic, will there be different doses of vaccines for youth? I'm thinking about how the typical 12-year-old girl is much smaller than, say, a 30-year-old man. And does body weight play into whether a person has a lot of side effects?
Sure. So most doses are the same whether you are a child or an adult. In some cases, vaccine doses are determined by understanding how mature and responsive the immune system is in that target group of the people that we need to vaccinate. So, you know, vaccine dosage is not usually determined by size or weight. And Heidi, I am learning more and more about vaccines every single day. So, you know, for example, adolescents and young adults have a very responsive immune system and often require a smaller dose than the very young with a growing immune system, or an elder who has an aging immune system who may need a larger dose or additional booster doses along the way. So the vaccinations that are currently available to folks 12 and older, and the ones that are available for younger people, it's Pfizer right now. There are, you know, others that are in development, and they're trying to determine you know, who can get them and when they can get them. But I think it's all happening very quickly, but it's happening in a good way, and we're excited about it.
We had a question from a mom in the Twin Cities this week. She said, my BFF is a single mom. She has a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, just like me. We've been so excited about getting vaccinated, and we've been talking about having a normal summer, hanging out together with all our kids together. So I was really bummed when I checked in with her and she hasn't been vaccinated yet. She hadn't even made an appointment. I was kind of mad and sad, and I confronted her about not sticking to our plans. She blew up at me. She said she does not have a partner. I have a husband. To help care for kids, she cannot risk getting sick from the vaccine. And we finally smooth things over. I promise to be available to back her up when she gets her shots in case she gets sick. Have you heard of other people giving this reason for not getting vaccinated, and your thoughts generally about these kinds of things going on in relationships?
For sure. So that's all really hard. And I, you know, I appreciate, this mom sharing her story, because I'm guessing that there's a lot of other folks who share this perspective and experience. But the big thing is, I wanted to say thank you for offering to help your friend so that she feels ready to get vaccinated. You know, getting vaccinated, again, is the best way that we can protect our friends and family and our neighbors from getting sick. But we also know that many Minnesotans who want to be vaccinated experience barriers like childcare, transportation, time off work when they're trying to access their vaccine. So I certainly do hear some people who are nervous to get vaccinated because they hear about the side effects. And it's important to note that many people do not experience any side effects or only experience mild side effects. This doesn't mean that the vaccine doesn't work for them, just that our immune systems react in different ways. Serious side effects that could cause long-term health problems are extremely unlikely following the COVID-19 vaccination. The vaccine monitoring that has happened so far has shown that if side effects are going to happen, they generally happen within the first 6 weeks of receiving a vaccine dose. And so for this reason, the Food and Drug Administration required each of the authorized COVID-19 vaccines to be studied for at least 8 weeks after the final dose. And millions of people have received COVID-19 vaccines and no long-term side effects have been detected. So it's a super great idea to arrange to help out your friend in case she's not able to watch her kids while she rests. And just generally, you know, Heidi, we don't talk about politics a whole lot, but we are in the final days of the legislative session here. And there's a lot of things that we want to do. So make sure that folks on the front lines, working families who've been most impacted by COVID-19 have the kind of supports that they need, so they don't need to make these impossible choices and think that, you know, that's something that everybody should be able to get behind. It's policies and investments that support working families like the one that we're talking about here to be able to, you know, to get the vaccine, but also to make sure that they're in a good spot if they do need to take a little bit of time down. But right now, that mutual aid of having a friend step in is a good thing for all of us to do and think about how to be good friends and neighbors.
You know, I think, isn't Minnesota still the only divided legislature in the country?
It sure is.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Minnesotans, they always say Minnesotans want to have that kind of balance, and it's a little bit of a scary time because whatever side you're on, you want something to get done by Monday. And I just want to remind folks, you can contact your legislator. Let them know what is going to work best for you, that you want something to get done. Email them, call them. That's their job, is to listen to you.
That's absolutely right, and especially in this moment when all of us have been impacted and affected by the pandemic. You're an expert in your own story, and your elected officials at all levels should listen to you.
Okay, so this next question is kind of what you had been talking about. It's a workplace question. Someone wanted to know, they said their coworker says he has a friend who got vaccinated, but that his friend died right after a second shot. My colleague was very upset about this. He was in deep grief for the loss of this friend. He says there's no way that he's going to get vaccinated. And I'm very sorry for my coworker's loss of his friend, they said, but I did not know what to say other than offering condolences because I've not heard of people dying from the vaccine. And I don't think it's my place to suggest to that grieving coworker that maybe his friend died of something else. So I kept my mouth shut. But I'm curious, have there been people who have died from the vaccine?
So I would just echo your condolences, and I'm really sorry to hear of your coworker's friend's death. And I think there's some data that I can share here, which is in a recent study, more than 52 million doses of the COVID-19 vaccines were administered in the United States from December 14th of 2020 to February 14th of 2021. And among the people that died in that time frame after receiving the vaccine, there are no patterns in the cause of death to indicate safety problems with the vaccines. So the CDC investigates all deaths linked in time to vaccine and makes a determination if there is a link. To date, they have not found that for any Minnesota deaths. And I think right now we are in a time when, you know, of course, we are just hypersensitive and aware of COVID-19. And so, you know, the reality is there are certainly other health issues and things that impact people beyond COVID and the vaccines. And we just haven't maybe been paying attention to those in the way that we have in the past. But to date, they have not found any deaths that are linked in Minnesota to the vaccine.
And again, remember, we can repeat this as we do probably every time we talk about know your sources. Don't just be reading Facebook posts or Twitter. Look at actual sources that you trust and check that they are correct as well.
That's exactly right.
So a couple of questions came in about the vaccine rates in Minnesota. They wanted to know how close we are to hitting that 70% goal for people being vaccinated and when you think that we're going to reach that level.
Sure. So we have made it to 61% of Minnesotans with at least one dose of the vaccine, and that's super exciting. And the 70% threshold it means that 3,087,404 people age 16 and older with at least one dose of the vaccine. So now we have about 400,000 people left to reach this goal. We've taken a community-based approach that focuses on Minnesotans talking to Minnesotans and making it convenient and accessible for Minnesotans to get their shot. Getting to 70%, just to be clear, though, does not mean that the work is done. We made it to over 88% of Minnesotans age 65 and older with at least one dose, and that is amazing. Just yesterday, the governor and I visited one of our state sites to celebrate the milestone of over 520,000 doses to 310,000 Minnesotans at our state sites. And now people can walk right in to these state sites. So I encourage people to continue to visit the Vaccine Connector and learn more about these sites. But we want to make it as convenient as possible for folks to get vaccinated so people can walk right in. The site where we are yesterday at Roy Wilkins, from start to finish, it takes about 21 minutes. So if you have 21 minutes to dedicate, to your health and the health of your neighbors and community, it's time and it's easy to do.
We had a math question come in having to do with the vaccine rate. They wanted to know if the 12 and up crowd would push us to that 70% goal faster. Is that included in those numbers?
So in the announcement that was made earlier this month, the goal that we set of July 1st or 70% of Minnesotans 16 plus vaccinated, whichever comes first, right, to roll back the statewide mask mandate. But of course, yesterday, we moved that timeline forward to align with the new recommendations that came down from the CDC. So this means that the 12 to 15-year-olds getting vaccinated will not affect this particular benchmark. But we're working hard, of course, to connect Minnesotans of every eligible age to their vaccine because we know that every shot in arms means that our communities, including our schools and workplaces and public areas, are that much safer. So it's not directly connected to that number. But I want to see us, we are number one in the country for voter turnout. We're number one in the country for filling out the census. I absolutely want us to be number one in the country for getting those vaccines into people's arms and certainly vaccinating 12 and up is going to help us get there.
It seems to me, in with you and the governor, that being kind of nimble and making new decisions, even if they're hard, throughout this whole thing has really been a positive. Has that been something that you've really you've had to just keep an open mind during this whole process?
Yes. Thank you for noticing. Heidi, I try not to sweat the small stuff anymore because we are dealing, with life or death situations now with the pandemic. And so it is, as we have learned more about COVID, as we have learned more about the effectiveness of these vaccines, that is what's driving our decisions. And I think the CDC recommendation that came out yesterday, tells us that the vaccines are incredibly effective. And so that is, that's how we're functioning and moving forward.
We had another question that came in this week. They said, I've noticed a lot of companies and states that offer incentives to get people vaccinated. For example, they offer free beer or gift cards if people will take the vaccine. What are some of the incentives you've heard about and which ones seem to work the best?
Well, getting people vaccinated, of course, the ultimate reward is good public health. The vaccine is free, it's safe, and it works. when the majority of Minnesotans get it. But I think, you know, if there are ways that we can incentivize more Minnesotans getting it, we should do that. No Minnesotan or no one should feel forced to get the vaccine, but we want to make sure that people are considering it and that they have accurate information when they're making these decisions. So it's been fun to see the different incentives offered for vaccination across the country, from French fries to Krispy Kreme donuts, right? And it's my hope that it helps connect people to their vaccine. And we've seen a lot of enthusiasm for the vaccine in Minnesota with folks who are ready and excited to get their vaccine. And we've worked recently to make it easier than ever to get, you know, these shots in arms with the walk-up sites that I was just talking about and also pop-up vaccination events across the state, too. So, you know, for those folks who haven't been vaccinated yet, that doesn't mean that they will never get vaccinated. Just that our responsibility to make sure that they have the information, resources, and access and opportunity necessary, right, to go ahead and get their shot. But some people are busy or hesitant, or there are, again, other obstacles, childcare, transportation, you know, So sometimes if they get a pint of beer or tickets to a baseball game afterwards, that can help. So we want to reach people where they're at, and this is one path I think that will work for some people. And we're exploring different things that might be possible to offer those incentives here to folks in Minnesota.
We had this question come in. They said, what are you looking forward to doing this summer that you were not able to do last summer? And also, this is a bit of an odd question, but as we get back to more normal times, is there anything you're going to miss about this strange year? And thanks for answering.
So I'll answer the second part first, which is, to be really candid, the anonymity that wearing a mask in Target provides, I appreciate. So I might miss that a little bit, especially when I might be, you know, rocking sweatpants and a t-shirt when I'm just trying to go buy some milk. You know, that being said, I also have really enjoyed spending more time with my family. And so I hope that is something that we just keep doing, even as we get busy and start doing more and more things out of the house, that we're able to keep that time with each other. But, you know, like most Minnesotans, the best parts of summer that I look forward to is swimming and canoeing and spending time with friends and hiking and bike rides, you know, which frankly were a lot of the things that got us through last summer. But we're going to keep doing those, you know, those things. I'm planning on traveling a bit more this summer than I did last time and having some fun outings with my family. Heidi, I have been asking people if they are fully vaxxed before giving hugs, and I've been giving folks a lot of hugs. And so, you know, that's all good stuff. But just, I think, coming back to, you know, what we talked about a little bit earlier, this transition and this change, after we've been doing this for the last 14 months, it's okay to be gentle with yourself as you're deciding what feels right and good for you and for your family, and to try to figure out what those practices are. For me, it's been going on daily walks that I want to keep doing as we, you know, get back to the way that we did things before. But also know that getting back to normal wasn't working. We need to get back to better, and there's some things that you know, I think best practices in my own life personally, but also when it comes to policy and how we care for and treat others, that we should continue to do moving forward. But I will, you know, tell you the one thing I am looking forward to that will be good for my heart and soul is live music and live shows again. I cannot wait for that. So I am anticipating we'll be able to do more of that towards the end of the summer, and I'm ready.
Yeah, I was this last week. I was able to see a cousin, brought my 90-year-old aunt to town so that we could see each other, and being able to hug someone you haven't seen in so long and who is kept safe, and it just, you can't really explain what that means.
It's pretty great. Pretty great.
So let's just, before I let you go, let's just recap that the mask mandate has been lifted, but if you are not vaccinated, it is still recommended to be wearing a mask in public, correct?
That's correct. And the safe learning plan will continue with masking within our public schools.
Sounds great. Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, thank you for your time today.
Thanks so much, Heidi. Have a great weekend, and I hope people get out there and catch some fish.
Sounds great. This broadcast is a collaboration of community radio stations throughout the state through AMPR's Diverse Radio for Minnesota Communities and the Minnesota Broadcasters Association. Listen to the full conversation at kaxe.org. I'm Heidi Holton for KAXE, KBXE. Stay safe, and thanks for listening.